Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
This is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do two times a week.
Yes.
Tonight, the stitch hour is Jennifer, me, and maybe Beth just stitching and chatting.
Yeah, yep. Nice.
Those are fun. I like doing those.
They are fun.
Yep. So we're just going to do that tonight. So join us at 8 o'clock Eastern Time for stitching and chatting. If you have questions, fire them at us. If you have comments, fire them at us. We'll all be there. Two of the three of us will be there for sure. Don't know about Beth. She's got a schedule issue, so we'll see. So that is tonight at 8 o'clock. And then speaking of our live shows, we have a new thing coming up in March. And it'll be the third. This is going to be the third Wednesday of every month now, starting in March. So March 17. Is that right? Is that the third Wednesday? You'd think I would do that homework ahead of time, wouldn't you? But you know, there you go. Third 17th. Yep.
Yes, it is. Hey, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Think about that. So this is going to be a new monthly feature. Third Wednesday of every month, the Stitch Hour will be. Right now, I'm calling it Thread Talk, for lack of a better name. But Kathy Ray from Needle in a Haystack is going to do a show each month on threads. So we'll talk about different kinds of threads, what they're used for, origins, what works well, good substitutes, how to choose colors, any number of things with threads. And yeah. That'll be a live show, so you'll be able to join the audience and ask questions as we go. And part of this came from when Beth was opening her casket, the show we did where she opened her casket and Kathy was in the audience. And there were lots of questions about threads, and Kathy was able to answer them and help people. And so it was, hey, we ought to make this a regular thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be very helpful.
Yeah, I think so. I'm excited about it. I just think it'll be a lot of fun. And Kathy knows threads. I mean, that's undisputed. And can talk about them until we all get tired.
Yeah, because a lot of times you look at something, you're like, oh, wow, that's so pretty, but what would I do with it? So right. You don't buy it because you, have no clue.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's coming up, and that'll be a regular monthly thing. So then in the months that there's an exhibition in at the Embroiderers Guild Galleries in Australia, that'll be the first Wednesday, and that'll be most of the months, though they do take a break in the summer, or it is their summer now. They take a break at some point. But anyway, so that we'll have on the first Wednesday, and then the third Wednesday will be Kathy talking about threads. So join us for that. And if you have things, topics that you want to talk about, want her to talk about, or you wonder about, send them to me, Gary@WeTalkFiber.com, and we'll put them on Kathy's list. She already has a pretty extensive list. I mean, it's not like we're scraping for topics right out of the gate. She has a long list. But if you have topics that you'd like her to talk about, let us know, because we definitely want to get those in. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think this will be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep. So that will be coming up. Now, we have so many things coming up here on Wednesday. Sunday. This Sunday. That's right. This Sunday, the 21st, we have a special show, because the podcast guest for Sunday is Emily Ferris. And then Emily will be with us at 2 o'clock Eastern Time live. And we'll get to talk to her and see some of her work and learn more from her. So you'll be able to get the podcast and the live show in one day on the 21st. And then,
yeah, those are fun.
Yeah. And then Natalie Dupuy will be with us a week from tonight to do a presentation on color. She has a class coming up on color that I'm going to take. And so she's going to do a presentation on color for us a week from Wednesday. So don't miss that either, because that'll be good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Fun stuff. So all those things. Yep. All those things. Now, remember, the solitary stitcher Amanda Rowe made available to us the sampler Mary Jane Fry 1861. And you can download that for free, wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861. Kim has now put together a kit so that she, or a series of kits, depending on threads and linen and so on and so forth. So Kim is putting together a kit, and you can get that at MJF1861 kit. So MJF1861 oh. kit, and you can get order the kit from Kim at Sassy Jack Stitchery. And I say that, and it may not be available for a couple of days, because when I talked to Kim about doing it last Friday, I was supposed to send her the chart so she could actually put the kit together, and I forgot. So, so she just got that on Monday, the kit or the chart. So it may take her 2 or 3 days to put it together, because she's going to do a DMC one, and then she's going to try and do one in Cosmo.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
So MJF, wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861 gets you the chart. That's free. And then if you want to get the kit from Sassy Jacks, MJF 1861 kit will get you to the page where you can select a kit. And just be patient with Kim. It's just her. She's moved out of her store, so she's all online as she makes the transition to the Baird House, which is their permanent home. So it's just her with the COVID working. So be patient with her. But I would think in the next couple of days that those kits will be available, and then you'll be able to order right from her. So just trying to make it easy for people to do this sampler.
Nice.
Yep. I like that sampler.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Yeah. It is. And then remember the Cosmo Thread Club. So wetalkfiber.com/Cosmo or /Cosmo Variegated will get you 20 skeins for $21 plus shipping. It was $25 to me. I got my threads here just the other day. And you can get 20 per month of the plain or the variegated, or both if you want to order both. Of course, that would be $21 times 2 plus shipping. And if you use the code FTCosmo, FT for Fiber Talk, FTCosmo, you get 5 free skeins, the Fiber Talk Blues grouping. 5 free skeins with your first order. So you get 25 skeins the first time, and then 20 each month after that. So check that out.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we have the Spring Hill Stitch Along. That's going on. WeTalkFiber.com/Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. Needle in a haystack. You can still get in on that, because I have yet to put in a stitch. So you would not be behind. Are you probably have yours half done by now, right?
No, but I did work on it some yesterday.
Okay.
I worked on 3 different projects yesterday.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer, Jennifer, of the three of us, way, way ahead of the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I have more time than you guys, too.
Yes, you do.
So. No job, no children, so.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yeah. But I will say, well, yours is beautiful. I when you put the pictures up, it's gorgeous. It's really, well, the colors are great anyway, but
oh yeah, they do look fantastic.
Yeah, you do a nice job too, so it really looks good.
What, thank you. Yeah, it's a little, you know, I'm doing over 2 on the 37.
Yes.
And it's working, but it like when you start really getting a bunch together, it does start getting a little crowdy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the stitches start getting a little crowdy.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like it better than if I did the one over, you know, just one thread, because it just would have been too sparse.
Yeah, so you're doing 2 over 2, and it gets a little snug in places, but in general, it's covered.
A little. Yeah, so you just have to make sure that where you come up and down, you know, you try to not split, and you have to fiddle a little bit more than I normally have to.
Yeah.
To get it to look just right and not make the other stitches that already exist split the leg, or make it, you know, push it over weird and wonky.
Yeah.
So a little bit more effort.
But the coverage is good.
Yes, I do like the coverage. I like the way it pops out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yours looks beautiful. I mean, colors, coverage is really nice. So,
yeah. Thanks.
And you're flying. You're flying along.
Yes. Well, it's Like, okay, so I'm doing the big green vine that has those three flowers, like two come down and one goes up, the flowers.
Yeah.
And once you get the main thing in there, then all you have to do is just outline, and you don't even have to look at the chart.
Oh, so it goes
you
fast
just
then.
outline around. Yeah, I mean, so a lot of it, and then like in that section, the band below it that I finished, once you figure out, which doesn't take long, where each flower or whatever goes, and in the shapes, they're always the same. You don't have to worry about it because, you know, like on some reproduction samplers, maybe the little girl didn't do it exactly the same, so you have to pay attention.
Right.
This one, they're all the same. So it's really nice.
Because Karen paid attention when she designed it.
Right. So, you know, once I learned how it goes, I'd glance over and just double check my counting a couple places, but you just go. You don't have to really look at the chart that much.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. So it's gone quick because of that.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely moving along. Yeah. That's a beautiful chart. Yeah.
I
next.
Really like it.
That's next for
I know.
Me. Yep.
And then that summer one. Oh, I want to get this one done because I'm doing summer. Ooh, beautiful.
Yep. Oh, I know. When she showed that, when she was on with us, and she showed us, like, oh, I want that one.
I know. Like, the spring one's gorgeous, but the summer one, I don't know. It must be the colors or something. There's something about it that's just like, wow.
Yeah, nice job on spring, but give me the summer one.
No, right?
Yep.
Yep.
So you can get in on that. WeTalkFiber.com/Spring Hill will get you to Needle in a Haystack, where Kathy has all the things laid out. You can do, Jennifer, Beth, and I are each doing it a different way. And she has a Cosmos set up there too. So, there's plenty of choices for how to do it, or just do it your own way, you know, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't she even have one where it's slightly more purpley and less pinky?
Yeah. Yeah. The one for me, the one she put together for me, you can have it more blue. There's a variation on that you can have too.
Right. So she already did like a color variation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. There's a variation on that will give you, I believe it's more blues than purples. Yeah. So it's spelled out there. But there's effectively five different ways to do it. I think it is,
right. Then if you do your own thing, that's great too.
Right.
So
you can jump in on that. We're not racing. We're just stitching.
Really? I thought we were racing. Cause, you know.
Have a good time.
I'm racing myself. No, I am.
You
trying
you
to
are
remember.
Because I'm not racing you.
I'm trying to remember the 2 hours a week thing. And being like, okay, well, you need to go do your, you know, got to work on your Spring Hill some, get your 2 hours in every week.
Yep.
Trying to keep that in my mind.
Yeah. Now see, when I start mine, I'm going to stick to that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a good plan. That'll keep me going on it. Cause I got several other things that I want to get going on. And,
you know, I'm working on WIPCO. I'm doing other things. So. Like I said, I did 3 projects yesterday.
That WIPCO thing is working for you, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I have to tell you, though, I did the Catherine sampler was the first for my first section for the month.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I think it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because there's something different on every row. I don't know. That one, I just couldn't wait to get through so I could put it away. I was over it. It's gorgeous and it's beautiful, but I did like 5 sections, 5 rows of bands or so, and I was done. Like, I'm done.
Enough of this.
I did over one verse, and the over one verse, of course, is the first thing. And I was mildly headachy during, and I'm like, ugh, over one verse with feeling like this, great, but I did it. And then I had Montenegrin stitch. Modified Montenegrin stitch, which is really easy. I was like, why is this
modified?
Hard? But
modified is modified meaning simpler.
No, meaning that you the long cross and the short cross were done in a different order.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I mean, all they did was switch the order of the long and the short cross
Oh.
because I looked it up. I'm like, why is this modified? Other than that, it's exactly the same. And I couldn't even really see how it made a difference in the way it looked.
Huh.
So,
Because when you say modified Montenegrin, I'm thinking, hey, wait, the Montenegrin is enough. Why would you start modifying it?
Well,
But
all it is, you know how there's that long cross stitch,
yeah.
the long where you have the long leg and then the short leg and then the
Right.
long leg. It's just a long leg and a short leg with an upright leg put in.
Oh, okay.
That's all it is.
Okay. That's not so bad. Yeah, I just thought,
No.
what?
But I didn't have to do any turning like you guys in that clean sampler. You had to turn and move. I
That's
just had to
the
go straight across.
oh, see,
So,
that's the difference maker there. You
right.
those you start doing angles and it's like, yeah.
Yeah. See, I didn't have to do anything but just go straight across. And I
Oh.
was like, well, this is easy. And I'm like, but I didn't have to turn.
Right. Yeah.
So, I
Yeah,
was
no,
like,
the yeah,
okay, so.
the stitch straight is yeah, that's not a big deal at all. Turning it. Oh, man.
Right. So I didn't have to do that. I'll have to try that. But
Yeah.
and then there was I've never done rice stitches. Well, okay, I did rice stitches on Dawn to Dusk, but they were big. These were teeny weeny little rice stitches.
Oh.
So I did that, and then I did queen stitch for the first time.
Oh, I like that stitch.
It's really easy.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I enjoyed it, but I'll tell you what, I was glad to be done and put it away. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, I was watching Teresa Little Stitcher is UK. I was watching her floss tube. I watch that from time to time, and she's either doing the whip go or some variation of that,
Okay.
and was going through the same thing of, and I could tell it was keeping her, helping her make progress on several fronts, and giving her some structure, and it was working for her. And then that immediately, I thought about you. Because it really has put you on a good path for various projects. So,
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot more on that in one sitting or in one like chunk than I normally would. Normally I'd do one or two little sections and then I put it away.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was also the red blackwork flowers. I have discovered I don't like doing blackwork.
Okay.
Not a fan. I now, whenever the Sassy Jacks, the learning stitches sample thing,
Yeah.
and it had the blackwork in there, I did not like doing that section. And then on this section too, I was like, oh.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So what helped me though, so when I look at the chart, it's all these, it's like a black on black chart. So you have the thicker black lines sitting on top of the thinner black lines, and it just makes my eyes scramble.
No.
It's like, oh my gosh. So what I did is I took a picture, put it in my iPad, and then I took my pen and I outlined with red on top of the red flowers. I outlined that section, and then I outlined in blue the blue parts, the queen stitch fill-in, and that really helped divide it up and calm it down for me. So I could see better what was
So,
going
okay,
on.
so is it I hate black work because of the chart or because of the stitching or both?
I don't know, it's kind of both. This one, once I got a flow, like a pattern, I have trouble finding my stitch path.
Oh, okay.
Is what it is what bothers me the most, I think.
Okay, see, that would drive me nuts too.
Yeah, and then having the highlighting it and like drawing over it in the color, that really helped a lot. That
Yeah.
helped a ton.
But if you're always scrambling or guessing at a stitch path, that makes it, yeah, that really slows you down.
Yeah, and it makes my brain hurt.
Yeah.
So
That's interesting.
yeah, so I've kind of discovered, and like that little biscornu that I made, that I designed my own little, it's pink and it's like got hearts and stuff. I did that myself, but I by the time I was done, I was like, oh, thank goodness that's over because I don't like doing it. I don't know why, but I don't mind doing back stitching on the cross stitch piece. Like, that's no problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But this is back stitching at a new level,
Yeah, it's only back stitching, and I like how it looks. I don't enjoy doing it that much.
No. Well, that's interesting, because that is a technique I have yet to do.
Oh, okay.
Other than little bits and pieces here and there, but that doesn't count. Mm-hmm. But right. To sit down and do a black work project, I have yet to do that, and it intrigues me, and I want to give it a try.
Yeah, I won't be doing it. Not me. You go ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to step out on that one.
Okay.
Go for it.
I mean, because a lot of those projects are gorgeous. I mean, they're mind-blowing is what they are.
Absolutely.
And, all right.
They blow my mind in a whole sort of bad way I don't like.
Okay. All right. Well, so when I tackle it, it will not be with Jennifer at my side. Okay, fine.
Nope. Been there, done that. Over it.
All right. Good to know. Yeah. Now, that's one I want to try. And that and stump work.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So you just did that Trish Burr interview over the weekend.
Right.
And I got totally infatuated. And I bought a couple of books, but then you gifted me with the Color Confidence book,
mm-hmm.
which came in the mail yesterday, which was the third project I worked on yesterday. And so I did the petal. I tried just one of the petals she has in there with the colors. I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to do a petal. And I did it. And then isn't stump work just something like this cut out?
Yeah, except it's a wire, and then you...
you've got to put a wire in it.
Yeah, because if you're going to take it off the thing, yeah, then you got to put in a wire, and then you stitch the stitch I can't think the name of right now, and then that allows you to connect things, and then you can cut it out of the ground cloth, and then...
Oh, okay.
And then, use it. And, if it's a leaf, you can bend it and shape it to get the thing you want.
Oh. Oh, yeah. So you stitch a wire down first and then do the stitching kind of over it?
You stitch, it's the buttonhole stitch. Now, I'm way over my skis already on this thing, because all I've done is read about it. But yeah, you make this line of buttonhole stitches. The way I understand it, I think it's buttonhole around the wire, very small, mm-hmm. and that right. gives you an attachment point, and then you stitch. You stitch and you use the ground cloth, and I'm not quite sure how that all works. But anyway, make a bunch of leaves on a piece of ground cloth, and then you cut them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these leaves that you can then tack down to your main project or petals or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So the buttonhole part, the part that is kind of thicker, the stitchy part goes on the inside so that you stitch over that part. That's what you attach your fill-in stitching to.
I believe it. And don't anyone take my word for it, because all I've done is read. I've never actually done it. Hang that on me.
I've never even really read about it either, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, hey, isn't this just what you do for stump work? And then you just cut it out. But there's more to it. There's a wire and stuff. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's quite a bit more than needle painting, surface embroidery. There's quite a bit more to getting it so you have pieces that you can actually hold in your hand and then attach to something else. Yeah.
Right. Because the back of my piece looks almost as good as the front of my piece.
Well, I had you ever done... Because you shared that was you'd never done needle painting. Because I'm telling you,
no, never.
I kind of looked at that like, holy smokes, Jennifer, is that your first time? Because
that's my first time.
Because we'll put a picture in the dealie here so people can see. I mean, wow, you that gradation that you had is so smooth across the length of that leaf. I was blown away.
I was surprised too. Okay, so my first row, you do the lightest outside part first. And I did it, and I realized as I was putting in the second row, when I changed color, I realized I didn't make my first row the stitches long enough.
Mm-hmm.
I squished them together. She said, it said put them really close and full. So I did that. but I did not make them long enough so that when I was putting in my second row of color, like there should have been more white, like lighter color. If I was going, I was trying to match it to the picture in the book. So there should have been more light color, but because I didn't make them long enough, that just wasn't possible. So I ended up doing two rows or two, like I went from left to right and then right to left of that second color.
Okay.
Instead of just one to make it longer. Otherwise I wasn't gonna reach the bottom, you know?
Yeah.
I had to fill it in more. And then as I got going, I kind of got the, and I was being too regimented too. You know, I was keeping everything too. I was like, you've got to stagger more. You've got to be, it's like controlled chaos is what it felt like.
Okay. Cause that, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Cause I have not done it. So, so you really have to consciously be random.
Yes. And I'm very regimented type person. So it was an effort. But once you kind of got going, you got the feel for it. So I got better as I got down further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've only done it like I can't find my 351. I wanted to do the next colorway, and I know I have 351 somewhere, and I cannot find it. I've been searching. It's driving me crazy. I might just have to go buy 351 because I can't find it.
Because for people who don't know and haven't seen the book, Color Confidence is an amazing book. And,
yes.
And Trish puts in it, help me out with this because I haven't looked at it in a while, but she puts in a number of color combinations.
Hundreds, thousands.
Yeah, that you can, that you can use. Like if you're going to do leaves and you want a dark green or a light green, she has combinations for you.
She tells you the numbers, everything.
Yeah.
It is amazing. The amount of work that she put into stitching all of this for this book is amazing.
So like, yeah, so if you're not competent, if you're not competent with colors, there's a good chance this book will give you the combinations you need.
Oh, yeah.
Without knowing anything about color.
It's all there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only approachable color book I've ever seen in terms of I can take this and actually do something with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has some projects in the back, too. So not only does she discuss color and shows you examples of how, you know, this doesn't work, and so I switch it to this color, and it does work, you know. And then she even has a thing where she stitched a bunch of leaves in the exact same color, but did the stitching at a diagonal, horizontal, vertical, different things. And each, they all look a different color, but she says it's the same color.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took those leaves and turned them sideways and took pictures so you can see how the same leaf stitched the same way looks totally different when it's... when the light's hitting it at a different angle.
Yep.
It's so cool.
Yep. Yeah. And that's where, that's, you know, that's where this book really stands out. Because complementary and, you know, all the different terms for the colors on the color wheel, she takes all that out of the equation and gives you, here's the combinations, here's why they work, here's how you can get this look and that look. And you can take that. Yeah, it's great.
She takes that, but she kind of takes it further. Is she goes through, and instead of just talking about it, which a lot of them do, she shows you.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, here's the main color. Here's the complementary. Here's the, you know, and she shows, so you actually see it instead of just trying to envision it yourself, which is really hard.
Yeah. And with thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she has these pages where you take, like, gold, and she has a flower done in gold, and then she has the next flowers the opposite. And so she goes through all of the, you know, the opposite, the split complementary, the triadics, and she does them all, and they're all together there. So you can see how all of these colors could work well together in a piece.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's a good book. Like, it really is.
It is. It is. Wow.
Well, and see, and then you did the thing that you're supposed to do, which is pulled some threads and did a, you know, drew an outline and then just tried it. Doesn't, you know, it's just junk. but you just tried.
Yeah, I just have some scrap muslin. I went and got a scrap piece of muslin. I laid it directly over the flower. I outlined it with my pencil,
yep,
like right over it. And I took the exact colors that she used and did it. And it came out pretty good, I have to say. It
came out pretty amazing. That's what it came out.
I was like, wow, look what I did.
Okay. So see, that's the, you know, and that's the thing that we've all been talking about lately is just no project needed.
Just right.
Give well, stuff a try.
And I just wanted to try it. I'm like, I have to try this. Like, so just, I saw these petals. I'm like, well, I'm just going to do a petal, mm-hmm. you know? And I drew four petals. So I'm going to, like I said, I have to go out today. So I'm going to go buy Meme at 351 because I want to do the next petal. And I'll look and make sure I had some other ones, see if there's some other colors that I maybe just don't have that I need to buy.
Yeah. So as you went, that was nice. As you stitched this petal,
mm-hmm.
then once you realized you needed to be random, then it got to be fairly easy because you have such a nice blend of the different threads and the gradation is so smooth. There's not like a rigid jump to a brighter color. And right. so it was for you, you could just visually blend it in as you stitched.
Kind of. I made sure it was like, okay, I would do like a shorter, like I'd start lower down and go longer. And then I'd start higher up in the color above
mm-hmm.
and go short. Like you have to really randomize it. And then every now and then I went like way up, you know?
Okay.
And then because my very first row where it transitions from the lightest into the next lightest, you can kind of see my little row where it's like, I went here and here and here.
Yeah.
It's a little too regimenty there. So as I went down, and then if I saw areas that kind of were sparse or whatever, I filled it in a little.
Mm-hmm.
But not too much, because if you try to fill in too much, then it just builds up and then another spot looks too naked and you just end up on this path of just, you know, filling in. It'll make a mess.
It's like trimming hair.
Yes.
This is a little long. Oops, I cut it too short. Now I got to cut the rest of it.
Your hair is up to your ears. You're like, oh, crap, what'd I do? Yeah.
So, all right. So then when it comes to long and short stitch, you got to make sure that your longs and your shorts are random in length.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I went back to her little,
and that's the tough part.
Page. It is, especially when you're used to being very regimenty in what you're doing. And I like to try to find a pattern, you know, but you don't want to do a pattern, mm-hmm. you know, so you have to kind of go against that.
Yeah.
It was hard at first, but it got easier.
And so by the time you were done, then you were really getting a good sense of how
by the time I got to the bottom, I felt way better. I was like, oh, I think I'm getting this down.
Okay. So, all right. So now I can see, you drew other leaves. Give me some other colors and let's see how I can blend. Because that's got to be the other part. It'll be interesting to see your experience with that. Now, as you do another set of colors, visually, how do they blend for you?
Right. And see if I can do it better.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, and especially when I very first started, I was like, oh, I don't know how this is going to look. But I did not let myself rip anything out. I was like, you keep going. Because it might look, a lot of times you start off with something that looks kind of weird. But as it gets going, it works out. So I was like, you just keep going. This is trial. You have three other tries there. You can try if this one looks really bad.
Yep.
But you've got to have your first one and not fiddle with it and let it be a really true first try.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, because I could see right away. I was like, oh, I didn't make those long enough. I didn't do this quite right. But I'm like, just keep going though. Just finish it. And then on the next one, do it better.
Yep. And that's the thing. This is not a project. This is a scrap of muslin that you made some shapes on and just some thread. Yeah, you were not trying to win an award here. We're trying to learn. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And if you didn't know that I was exactly trying to match the picture, you wouldn't think anything was wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see. I'm like, okay, I didn't, you know, I know what it, because I wanted it to look like the picture. But it's still, for what it is, it looks good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I'm like, look at what I did.
Right. No,
and
that's
it only took like an hour, hour and a half maybe.
Oh, so that was pretty quick then.
It was fast.
Yeah, because if you got nothing to compare it to, I mean, when you sent that the pictures to Beth and me, it was like, wow, bingo. And I did not pull out the book to compare. I just celebrated you.
It's on page 53. It's the very first one.
No, I'm not going to look. No. No, you.
Well, if anybody else wants to look.
So. You did a beautiful job. I'm going with that. I'm just riding with that.
Why, thank you. Yeah, I was pretty happy with it.
All right. See, that helps. You know, that helps because it's, you know, it's those, I mean, that's a main technique for Trish's, majority of Trish's designs. Mm-hmm. And so it's getting over the hump of that. And so, see, you just demonstrated that. You know, pull out a strap and go for it.
Yeah, and fighting your need to be like, this isn't looking right, and just being like, quiet brain, stitch. Shush up there.
Yep.
Tell that critic up there to be quiet. Go do something else.
Yeah. And see, and I think that Color Confidence book, that if you're going to own two Trish Burr books, that's got to be one of them.
Right.
Because if you're going to do her...
She tells you just...
Yeah, if you're going to do her needle painting,
you
need it.
Yeah, she tells you what to do.
Yeah.
It's right.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was fun. It was exciting. It got me all hyper last night. I had trouble falling asleep. And what's interesting, too, is so when I took the pictures, it actually looks even a little bit better in the pictures than it does. And also, if you hold it, the further away I hold it from myself, the better it looks, kind of, because otherwise you have it right up in your face, and it looks good there too. And then what's interesting is if you tilt it almost horizontal and look, you can see the color changes more than if it's vertical and you're looking at it straight on.
Okay.
Which is interesting. I wonder if that's like normal, like if Trish's, if you tilt hers, if they do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know.
Because of the way the light hits it.
Right. Well, that's a big part of fully understanding colors. You know, light hitting colors and colors that are adjacent look different in this situation and in that situation. So,
well, even needlepoint, like the dawn to dusk, because you know you're stitching stuff and it's turning angles, so it gives an optical illusion. And you're like, is it really like that, or is that just an optical illusion because of the way the light's hitting it?
Right. Well, and that's where Gayanne Rogers, you know, talks about that all the time, that in her design work, that colors adjacent to each other look this way one time and this way another time, depending on what you're doing. And, of course, she's a master, but that's, you know, that's where her stuff really shines is that understanding of the color. And I'm sure Karen Dudzinski is equally skilled because Dawn to Dusk, I mean, all her stuff works too. But yeah, to me, that's the, you know, I just want to understand the basics and be able to manipulate just at the basic level.
Mm-hmm.
That higher level stuff, I don't know, someday.
Yeah.
But
Well, you can just follow Trish Burr's book and follow what colors she says to do and you'll be fine.
Well, I'm glad that worked
all
out
there.
I'm glad that worked out for you. That's great. Now I, cause I sat down more, I have sat down more than once and read through that book, but I've never actually picked up a needle and thread and tried anything.
Oh yeah. So, I read through it and then I went and got my stuff and I did it.
That's my mistake right there.
Like immediately.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, okay. You're doing it. And I just use one of my quilting, one of my sharps.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I think it's a No. 9 sharp I used.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. All right. Well, bravo to you. Right out of the
thank
gate.
Thank you.
Right. All right. Now, we did two things last Saturday, two presentations that I wanted to talk about because we
Oh, right. Yeah,
we were online and texted a couple times, but we didn't actually get to talk about them. So the EGA has this lecture series as part of their education thing. And this, you know, this is another example of getting value for your EGA membership dollars is every month they have this online lecture series. And it's limited to 100 people, so you have to you sign up. You got to get right on it, like this past Monday, the one for March. The sign up started, and you texted us and said, "Hey, be sure to sign up." And I completely forgotten. By the time I got to it, there were only like 25 or 30 slots left.
Oh wow! Yeah, because when I was at, it was like maybe 8 minutes after one, and the sign up started at one, and 8 minutes after one, there were 60 left. And then I immediately texted you guys, and you did it right away.
Yeah, so I did. Yeah.
2 minutes later, maybe there was 25 left. So it goes within the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty fast. So
you got to be on it. But they said they have a waiting list if people need to drop out.
Yeah.
They can put you on a wait list.
Yep. So and this past Saturday, Tony Gerdes, who we, if you go to WeTalkFiber.com, we did a show with her not a long time ago, but a good time ago. She did a presentation on artwork in Japanese internment camps, the World War II when they made all the Japanese Americans, and I emphasize the American part, Japanese Americans all go to leave their homes, leave their belongings, their jobs and everything, and go to these internment camps for 3+ years.
And, 3 to 4 years,
yeah. And so Tony put together a presentation, gave us some background on those camps, which was that was enlightening in its own right. But then,
I didn't know that they had one in Colorado.
I didn't either.
I thought they were only in California.
Exactly.
I didn't know they were, you know.
And what, there were two in Arkansas? All over the West. What was that?
Yeah, even Arkansas, yeah. So.
Yeah, I thought they were all in California, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, but, just, you know, just
I mean,
it was just disgusting, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, I know.
You know, and then there's a whole bunch of Japanese Americans who actually fought in the war because they were fighting for America because they're Americans. And then you know, and then we,
And then their families are probably in one of these camps.
I know,
you know?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Like what? Yeah.
And I appreciate that you have to be there. You know, the Japanese were attacking us and all this stuff, but come on, these people are Americans. Yeah. You know, who sat down and put that together?
Ugh. Just fear. Yeah. Everybody, lots of fear. Fear does crazy things. Yeah. So.
But, you know, and what was it, a family of four and a, what was it, a 20 by 20?
Oh, I know. They squished them in tiny, thousands of people in like teeny weeny little areas.
Yeah. But I did get a kick. I got a kick out of the one in Colorado, because they had high schools. I mean, they had all the things where the neighboring town was jealous of the internment camp high school because it was better than the one in the neighboring town.
Yeah, because they did provide high schools. They even said they had cheerleaders. And so it was, in a way, it wasn't as horrible as I had thought, but it was still horrible.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, when I had heard about these when I was younger, I thought it was very similar to what they did in Germany. I thought it was the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was still horrible that they took their entire lives and stripped them of everything and stuck them in these places. But they did provide them with schooling and they had some, I mean, it wasn't as bleak, but it was still terrible. I mean.
Yeah, they didn't starve them. They didn't, didn't have those things. But still, I don't care. You're still in prison.
No, exactly.
You're an American in prison in America.
Yeah.
Simply because you live in America.
Just because you happen to be Japanese descent. It's terrible.
Yeah. But the interesting, and of course, that was, I'm glad she put that in because I learned a lot. I did not know.
Yeah.
But then the art that came out of this, that was so fascinating to me. The different kinds of art from different camps around the country and, you know, what they were able to do And but for me, it wasn't the art, which was interesting in its own right, but it was in situations like that, you would think that the last thing that people would do is turn to art. But it's not.
Well, they probably have a lot of, they can't work.
Yeah.
So I guess they had a lot of time on their hands. So they decided and probably started out with trying to make things that were useful. And then they're like, oh, well, let's make it pretty too. And
Yeah.
then it started to, being an art thing. And they used a lot of what they had in their natural environment and what was available. And
Yeah. That was it was really it was
very.
interesting. Yeah, and they found different ways using what you have, where you're at. Who was it that was it Jane Dunnewald? Somebody guest recently. You use what you have where you're at. And that's what they did. And just all kinds of different types of art. And I'm sure it's at some point you're in prison. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You're in prison. And so you do have time. And then is it a diversion to take your mind off of your situation? Or is it I need to express myself? And so then I do art to express myself in some way or another. I'm not sure what that is.
It's probably both.
Yeah.
You got to do something, and a lot of, art can help you express your feelings and
Yeah. It was it was really an excellent really excellent presentation, and I applaud Tony and even and really even more so EGA for putting this together, 'cause it was just really enlightening and well done. And it brought to mind it was we saw that, and then somebody on Instagram posted a picture that she had read Claire Hunter's Threads of Life. And I did two shows with Claire Hunter a year and a half ago or so. The Threads of Life book is something I highly recommend people read, because she looks at art that has been produced in all kinds of situations, and a lot of them in very difficult situations, prisons, after and during wars, that kind of thing. It's an excellent book, and I did two interviews with her. One with Claire, just learning about Claire, and then the second one was about the book. We didn't go through chapter and chapter. It was about putting the book together. You go read the book. But it a lot of that book is that kind of thing too, where people are in difficult situations in the art that comes out of it. And in her case, the needlework in the Japanese American camps, it was carvings and paintings and all kinds of things.
Yeah, things like brooches and pins made out of shells
Yeah.
and stuff, and oh, just amazing
Yeah.
stuff. It's just
Yeah.
beautiful.
I wondered what you thought, because one of the questions was, okay, they're there 3.5 to 4 years. Oh, well, it was just awful. Well, they were informed by because signs were put up around towns saying you have to report. And then
You're
they had to
like,
report
what?
to, like, they were like 4 or 5 6 months in these holding areas, like racetracks and other things. And then they were shipped to these camps. It's just an awful thing. And, but I wondered what you thought. If you were in that camp 3.5 years, 4 years, and you made some art, and they said, all right, it's over. You can go back home, which your home doesn't exist anymore.
They just let you out into the wild and you
Right.
have to pick your life up from the
Jeez.
dirt.
Right. So do you take that art with you? Would you?
I don't know. It would depend on how traumatic it was for me,
Yeah.
Like maybe for a while, and then maybe you'd eventually be able to let go of it. The only thing I can mildly compare it to is that cross stitch piece I was working on when I went through my divorce when I was 22.
Mm-hmm.
And all every time I would look at it or bring it out, all the horrible feelings, but I couldn't let go of it for the longest time until just this last year. And now I cut it apart. I re-dyed the fabric to use for something else, and I threw it away. And yeah, it's like it let a lot of all of that go. Like all those feelings, every time I would think about it, it's lifted.
See, that's interesting, because you say, you know, even remotely compare, but I think it's a more direct comparison, because, you know, people say that, you know, most dramatic times in your life are buying a house, having kids, or getting a divorce. You know, yeah. I mean, those are powerful moments. And then you carried that for years.
Mm-hmm. Drug it around with me in my, you know, my needlepoint, by my needle box.
And interesting, you know, not to get too personal, but interesting that you had that with you while you're in a very good and happy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there and you can't let it go, yet it brings back bad memories. And so,
yeah, like bad.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, take these Japanese Americans, that same kind of thing has to be going through their minds.
Yeah. It's like it's something you made and you have a connection to it, but you want to, it would depend on how traumatic it was for you and when you felt you could let it go.
Yeah.
You know?
And so when you got this thing done, cut it apart, kept the good cloth, threw the rest away, what happened in your mind? Was there a release there?
I was just, and I even looked at it. I'm like, do you want to save this? And the part that I stitched and make it, I'm like, no, you don't want to save this and look at it. And you throw that away. I threw it away. And it just was like, whew, felt better.
So there was, okay, so there was a release. There was a,
yeah,
a termination point.
I finally got it out of the house after 26, 27 bazillion years.
Yeah.
Long time.
Billion. Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay. So, but it's interesting psychology, because that's it. I don't see that as any different than.
Yeah, I guess. Cause I did feel like I was in prison in a way and I had to escape. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, that was one of the questions that sat in my mind after that presentation was just that. And then as a parent, do you keep it because you want your children to remember as a lesson?
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't have kids, so I don't know if I would, you know, that's your parenting style, I think. And yeah. I don't know what mine would be because I don't have children, so I have no clue.
And I don't, and I have two, and I don't know how I'd feel about it either.
Yeah.
I really don't. Because my gut reaction to that question is, no, I ain't taking any of it with me. I don't want to remember anything. I don't want physical memories of any of this stuff. I want it in my past, and I want to get on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I
think a lot of that just depends on if you're a person who just likes to take an experience and go, okay, that happened, now get on with it. Or some people, they wallow and they think about it, and that's just, it's, everybody's different.
Yeah.
You know,
they wallow. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
So it's just, and it depends on how you feel about that kind of thing. Some people feel they need that reminder, and others are like, yeah, I don't, because I know what happened. I know how I felt, and I don't need to be reminded about it.
Yeah.
Other people may have reasons why they do want to be reminded about it. I just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't see it as art that you put on the mantle, you know?
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Unless you made something really beautiful and you're like, look at this beautiful thing I made in like the worst adversity of my life, which could be like, even those things can be really horrible, something beautiful can still come out of it.
Yeah.
And maybe if you have that kind of feeling. It just depends. Everybody has their own experience, and you know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. So. That, but that was that presentation. Yeah, those are the kinds of things that were going through my mind. not only right after, but in the days after. I mean, it really stuck with me. You know, the terrible thing that our government did, and we as voters allowed to happen. And then two fellow Americans, and then to see that you know there was art came out of that. And there, she had several books, and the EGA sent a list of books and publications that Tony had used for this presentation. And I have to say, I think I'm going to read a couple books. I think I need to know more about this. It'll be depressing, though. I don't know.
Goodness.
Makes you want to take a shower. It's just that's just awful. That's just awful.
Oh yeah. Very sad.
So, yep. So that was interesting. So another reason to join the EGA. Join the EGA so you get in on these lectures because this was just exceptional. Really, really good.
And they're free. You know, you pay your EGA dues and these lectures were free. Yep. So
just got to sign up. Yep.
You got to be on the ball on sign up day.
Yep. So, that was an excellent one. Bravo to EGA for putting that together.
That was really good.
All right. Holy smokes.
Definitely. That's,
we're going to have to call it here, Jennifer.
Okay. Has it been?
Yes, it has. It has.
All right.
Yes, it has. So tonight, Stitching and Chatting, Sunday, Emily Ferris podcast and live at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Emily Ferris, get to look at her work. She's delightful. I keep using the word delightful. I just really enjoyed talking with her. A talented young lady who has a really great outlook on needlework. And
I checked out her Instagram. She is fun.
She's fun. Yes, she is.
And then I saw I was looking at her things. She does pet portraits too. And there's this little one. It looks Cooper. It looks like a little Morky. A little bit darker coloring than Sophie. But I'm like, that's a Sophie face.
Well, that's how she got started. And when you listen to the podcast, you'll know. But pet portraits is how she got started.
Well, it was amazing because she had it. The Instagram picture had a photograph of the dog. And then split screened with the needlework she did. And you have to look close.
Yeah.
And realize that this side is the needlework and this side's a picture because it was amazing. She did an amazing job.
That's how she made a living for at least a couple of years, was doing just that, commission work of pets. Yep.
They're fantastic. Yeah. I mean, beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, she's quite a story. She is quite a story.
Oh, wow.
And you're right. She's just fun.
She's fun. Very perky.
Yep. So 2 o'clock Eastern time live with Emily Ferris this Sunday. And the podcast is Sunday's podcast is Emily too. So you get a 1-2 Emily thing. And a week from Wednesday, Natalie will be with us to talk about color, more color.
Yeah. Lots of color.
Now I got to get out my book and at least try. I gotta try.
I know. Trace over a petal. Get the six. It's only six colors. Get the six colors together and go for it.
Okay.
It'll take you an hour or two in the evening.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Okay. All right.
Expect to see results the next day or
two. Okay, mother.
That's right. I'm gonna crack the whip.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. Bye.